All again this evening. What an amazing opportunity it is for us to have another chance to assemble together. Thank you to our visitors for being here. Thank you to our members for being here. It's an incredible opportunity for us to be able to worship with each other. Speaking of worship, I want to start this tonight's sermon by asking maybe an unconventional question about worship and what you think about during worship. Whenever the plate comes around for us to give, what are you thinking about? Because for a long time, at least for me, all I thought was, okay, time to drop in the few dollars my dad gave me. Or, okay, now all the adults get to put their checks in. Maybe you're hoping you remember to get cash out of an ATM, or you remember to write your check. Or maybe you're just hoping, you're just waiting for the plate to pass on and we'll move on to another part of worship. I know for me, I can have a really bad tendency to just kind of to think about the sermon or think about the Lord's Supper or think about the singing and just kind of skip over giving as and thinking about it as an act of worship. Skip over thinking about how important giving is. And tonight I want to talk about what giving is all about, how important it is, what we should be focusing on when we give. Because giving gives us so many opportunities to evangelize, both here and to assist other people with evangelizing overseas. It gives us the opportunity to have a nice building. Just last year, my dad and I went to Romania to preach and teach over there. And this congregation, along with others, and a few, this congregation as a whole, and some individual members here, helped us with that effort. Giving in the plate every Sunday gives so many opportunities for God's word to spread and for great things to happen in God's kingdom. But how often do we think about that? How often do we think about giving as an act of worship? Sometimes I much less think of it as an act of worship. Sometimes I don't even think when I give. It can definitely be difficult to give with the right attitude and focus on what we're doing and what giving is really all about. And so tonight, for tonight's sermon, I just want to go over three things that we should keep in mind when we're giving. The three things about our attitude when we give, and then the sermon will be yours. And the first thing is that it's not about you, it's about God. Turn, if you would, over to Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21 is where we're going to be starting tonight. And the first four verses of Luke chapter 21 tell the story of a widow and her offering. And something I want to point out before we get into this story is that widows were outcasts in society back in this time. Women in general were pretty much looked at as second-class citizens, and without a husband or a father, society really just kind of looked at them as having no worth, which is really hard for me to say, and that sounds really bad in modern society, but that's just the way it was. But look at how Jesus reacts to this woman. Luke chapter 21, starting in verse 1, says, "Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, 'Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she had to live on.'" This is a short story, but it says a lot. We have a lot to learn from this widow and her generosity. Think about the foundation of the widow's attitude. She realized that God had given himself for her. Even though Jesus hadn't died yet at this point in time, she realized that though it wasn't much, everything she had in her life was from God. And her very life, her very existence was given to her by God. And so in turn, she gave her life to him. And then she gave him. And then she gave the two coins. And it's important to realize that God wants our life most importantly. When we give, we have to undergo the same process that the widow went through. And first, realize that God gave himself for us so that we give ourselves to him. Before we ever put a cent in the offering plate, God wants our life. God wants who we are. God wants us to live our lives in accordance with his will because he gave himself for us so that we can give ourselves to him. And then, after that, we give of our physical blessings that he first gave us. A big part of giving is realizing that God gave us everything we need to survive and to live our lives, and that we have an opportunity, a blessing, to give back, similar to the widow with her two small coins. We realize that God has not only given us our lives, but our livelihood, our material wealth. And so we give all of our life and a portion of our wealth back to him. We don't have to give all of our wealth back to God like the widow did, but we do need to give our entire lives to him. That is our first priority when it comes to giving. And our recognition of that should show in however much we do decide in our hearts to give. And this sentiment is reflected also in Psalm 50. If you would turn over there to Psalm 50. We're going to be reading verses 7 through 15, and this section of Psalm 50 talks about Old Testament animal sacrifices and how even though they were commanded, God didn't command animal sacrifices because he needs dead animals. God created them. They're already his. Much like with giving for us, our money is already God's. If you would read with me in Psalm 50, starting in verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills, I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. Just like God didn't need their animals, he doesn't need our money. What do you give to a God that has everything? You give him thanks. And that's what giving is. We give thanks to God because we recognize that he already owns everything already. People in the Old Testament could have made sheep and goats and cattle and birds go extinct because they offered them all to God, and it still wouldn't have been enough for what he had given them. And we could empty our bank accounts into the offering plate, and it still wouldn't be enough because it's not about us. It's about God. It's about us giving thanks to God and giving back to God a portion of what he has given us. Giving is not an opportunity for us to give God money like he needs it, or an opportunity for us to be especially generous or anything like that. It's an opportunity for us to give back just a small portion of what God has given us because we're thankful and we have this opportunity to give back in a physical way. And a lot of times you'll hear giving talked about like it's paying back a debt that you can never repay. But even thinking about it as debt isn't powerful enough. Our entire lives should be complete sacrifices to God, and our physical, financial sacrifices should reflect that, just like the widow we read about, and just like here in Psalm 50. And another thing to realize from Psalm 50 is that we need God more than he needs us. And we know this is common sense, but sometimes it can be really easy to act like maybe we're being extra kind to God because we're giving more than we usually do. Or in some other act of service or act of worship, we think we're going above and beyond. But the truth is that we really can't go above and beyond, because our money is already God's. Our houses already belong to God. Every plane ticket, cup of coffee, mortgage bill, tank of gas, anything you're going to spend money on already belongs to God. He's the one who gave it to you. And so it's not about you or your money or what you can spend it on. It's about God. And so, to the God who has everything and already owns everything, we can give thanks. And that's what giving is all about. And another thing that giving is all about, it's not about a time set aside, but it's about our whole way of life. It's not just a time where we're passing around a plate and, you know, we're being silent, we're dropping our checks in. It's about how we live our lives, how we go about every single day. If you would turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13, we go to a lot, and it has so many lessons about love and what love looks like and characteristics of love. But look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 3 in the context of giving. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 3 says, "If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing." If we're not giving it out of love, God doesn't want it. People give huge sums of money to charitable causes every single day just to make themselves look better. And if we're blessed with physical wealth, we have to make sure that we're not doing the same thing when it comes to the offering. We can't let ourselves fall into that same trap. And even if we don't have a lot to give, we need to make sure that we're giving with pure motives. We're giving out of love for God, love for His kingdom, love for His work. That's why we give. And that should be our motive when we give. We give out of love. Whatever we give to God, whether it be money or our lives, it should be out of love. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, "I could give my body to be burned." You could be martyred. But if you don't do it out of love, it doesn't matter. And so what does that say about our loving attitude when we give? You can write a check for $1 million and put it in the plate and not put any of your heart into it. Or you can give two small copper coins, like the widow did, and be giving away your livelihood, and do it out of love. And that's the type of giving God wants. That's the way of life of a giver. If you would turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 talks about giving cheerfully, being a cheerful giver. So not only do we need to give out of love, but we need to give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6, says, "The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things and at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, 'He has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever.' He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness." No matter what amount we're giving, God wants us to give cheerfully. This passage talks about sowing and reaping bountifully. And it tells us that a giving attitude will reap its benefits. And think about how much of a bounty all of us truly have. All of us have so much more than we really need. And so our job is to decide in our heart how much we can give out of desire, not out of compulsion and not reluctantly. And that's serious. Our job is to give as much as we can because we want to give. We're not supposed to give because we feel like we have to, even though we should. But however much we give, not only does God want us to give it out of love, but He wants us to give it cheerfully. And that attitude is applicable to more than just one context. A cheerful giver is a type of person. It's a whole way of life, like we've talked about. It's not just a singular action. And it applies to more than just one context of a few minutes where the plate's being passed around. A cheerful giver is a type of person. We should always be looking for ways to give back to God and His people, whether it be our money, our time, our food, our advice, whatever we're giving, give it cheerfully. Give it out of love. Day in and day out, throughout the week. Because I really hope that we're not just thinking about everything that God's done for us while the plate's being passed around. And I really hope that we don't think about the sacrifice of Christ in any other way than cheerfully. And so as we think about that sacrifice and how incredible it was throughout the week, we give cheerfully because we've been given so much. And that should be our whole way of life. That should be how we go about our lives. And the next section of 2 Corinthians chapter 9 transitions from talking about our attitude and our lifestyle to talking about the one who gave it all. And it teaches us that it's not about a plate. It's about the cross. When it comes to giving, it's not important what we put in the collection plate as it passes by us, but that we realize how much we've been given through Jesus' sacrifice. Look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 11 through the end of the chapter. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but is also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift. And that's just what it is. It's an inexpressible gift. And what 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 11 through 15 tells us is that we should be overflowing with thanksgiving because of God's sacrifice. It should be overflowing. It should be gushing out of us how thankful we are for God and His sacrifice. So when we give every Sunday, it's not about a plate. It's about the cross. And this passage says that being generous in every way produces thanksgiving to God. The more we give, the more we realize how much we've been given. And it serves as an overflow of the many thanksgivings to God. We should realize how incredibly blessed we are and give out of our excess back to God. We've all heard the phrase, to whom much is given, much is expected. And that's true of how much we give to God and how we give to God. We give as we've prospered because we're thankful for how prosperous we really are. Even the widow who had the two small coins, she realized that God had given her everything she had, so she gave it all back. For some of us, writing a check for $100 might just be standard. It's what we do every week. For some of us, a check for $100 would bounce. But it doesn't matter because it's not about a plate or what we put in it. It's about the cross and the Messiah that died on it. What matters is that the Son of God died on a cross so that we could have remission of sins, and that we have an opportunity to give back every single week. We have an opportunity to let our thanksgiving overflow out of our hearts and into a plate as it passes by us week after week. As 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 15 says, thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift. We have no hope of even remotely expressing the magnitude of how thankful we should be for God's gifts to us. More than just the cross, think about creation. Think about the fact that we're still alive. Think about all the physical blessings in your life. And to top it all off, Christ died for you. Giving is all about trying to express the inexpressible. And that's what giving is and isn't all about. It's not about you. It's about God and how he's blessed us, the things he's done for us in our lives. And it's not about a time set aside every Sunday for us to drop in a check and twiddle our thumbs for a few minutes between acts of worship. It's about our whole way of life and our life. It's about a lifestyle of cheerful giving. And it's not about the plates that we pass around, but it's about the cross of Calvary and what happened there and the inexpressible gift that that was. In the end, giving is an act of worship that signifies how blessed we are, and that we're giving back a portion of what we have been blessed with back to the one who gave it all to us in the first place. We are giving of our livelihood back to the one who breathed us into existence in the first place. But if we're going to do that, we first have to start by giving our lives to him in the waters of baptism for the remission of our sins, repenting of our sins. If we're going to give anything to God, it should be our lives. And that's the invitation of Jesus Christ. So if you're here tonight and you haven't given your life to Christ, as Jerry said in his sermon this morning, now is your moment. And maybe you have given your life to Christ, but you've fallen away. You haven't been living like you should. You haven't been giving as much of yourself as you should. The invitation of Jesus Christ is for you. And we would invite you to come if there's anything that we can do to help you while together we stand and sing.